Football Fix with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh, how about that?
Oh, here you go. Right. Oh, now you're ready to go. Oh, I see. When it's my hour to flash the
three. Let's go, Wolf.
Now
bring it.
Doug Lee's is ready to go. Flash the three. The Doug and Wolf Show savages in the morning.
If you don't know about the Doug and Wolf Show, Wolf has this made-up opinion that even hours, I need to drive. Odd hours, Wolf needs to drive.
Listen, jump into those Jordache jeans, baby.
Take it, Paul.
Jump into them, pull them up real high.
Pitchfork in the face.
Comb and put it in your back pocket, baby. Hey, listen, you're going to have to brush back that feathered hair because the party's tonight, baby. Everybody's working for
the weekend. I'm not fashionably late. I'm purposely late,
trying to
miss as much of this as possible. If maybe the wife is forcing you to throw a Super Bowl party and you don't want anybody over, just start playing Loverboy. It'll clear out the entire party. You'll
the
have your house to yourself.
Never going to be the same without you and your Jordache jeans.
You know, Maloney, if you get a second, there's a man by the name of Tim Delaney. Could you see if he'll come on to talk about the Dave Pash, Ron Wolfley, Rashad Johnson broadcasting for the Arizona Cardinals?
Hey, Rashad, did I hear you reference sideline reporting?
Yeah.
We need to have a discussion, Rashad.
That's what I told the boy. Yeah.
There might be some stuff about you online that I'm going to completely concoct.
Dude. Oh, I see.
I see. Just to let you know, there might be a smear campaign. I have nothing to do with it.
That's well done, Paul. That's well done. So this is amazing to talk NFL. We're here at the Oxygen Community Studios, and we've got a lot more hardcore Super Bowl and ASU to talk about today. Charles Davis is coming up in 10 minutes and Dave Pash in 20 minutes.
Yeah, one more time, baby.
I tell you, the news coming out of Atlanta has nothing to do, really, with Super Bowl 53.
All right.
But the news is unbelievably strong about every other story that's going on across the football landscape. So let's get to it. Steelers issues are the top draw. Hines Ward from Yahoo Sports says, you know what? Big Ben isn't alone in creating that atmosphere.
For Pittsburgh, with all the talent that they have, they beat the Patriots in the regular season, and to miss the playoffs, that's a reflection of the head coach and the players. It's not just all about A.B. shenanigans. You know, Ben Roethlisberger, when you have a radio show, you can't go out and critique players in the open. We had one motto when I was playing, is keep my name out your mouth in the media. Don't talk about me. Whatever you say to the media, you can talk to me as a grown man. And when you start to do that out publicly while you're still playing, you open up a can of worms.
It's the law of the locker room. Are you kidding me? Of course you don't actually name names when you talk about somebody else. That's rule number one.
So coming up on Paul's call today, Paul, keep my name out your mouth.
I remember I was a young producer back in the day, and we were doing a 49ers show, and Ken Norton Jr. was our host, and I wanted to do this report card concept, and I wouldn't take no for an answer, and finally Ken Norton Jr. pretty much grabbed me by the lapels and said, I'm not grading my teammates on the air. Next! Love you, Kenny.
Wow, that's a
good story, Paul.
Honestly, give Paul the Wolf Hall.
13 years and you finally drop something like that.
I was a 23-year-old producer who had no idea about the laws of the locker room.
Paul, that's impressive.
That was enough. You had me.
But Hines Ward goes a little further. This is interesting. Think about this from the context of Patrick Peterson.
Into the ground, Paul.
Bring Rashad Johnson in now for Wolf's gig.
Look at Ben Roethlisberger. You got that C on your chest, and you're calling people out in the media. Well, what are you younger guys going to do? They're going to call people out. Think about it. Le'Veon Bell didn't show up to camp. What was the first thing all the offensive linemen did?
Yep.
Talked about his money.
Talked about
his money. Remember my motto, keep my name out your mouth when it comes to media.
That's why I said it at the time when his offensive lineman did actually speak up. I was shocked.
Yeah.
You just don't do it.
There's more. Steelers, Juju Smith-Schuster, not saying any names, Brown.
I think everyone just needs to stop being divas. I think we need to stop being the Kardashians and just play ball.
Oh, that hurts. Let me tell you, if I don't hear my name, but I do hear a reference to me, and then they drop...
Hi, I'm Kim.
...a Kardashian reference, that hurts. That hits home.
I've learned a lot in that locker room, and I know that I would never want to be the problem to any franchise.
Wait, I
missed
that.
I learned a lot in that locker room. That's Juju Smith-Schuster still. I learned a lot in that locker room, and I would never want to be a problem to any franchise.
I've learned a lot in that locker room, and I know that I would never want to be the problem to any franchise.
The problem.
Oh, you're right. The problem.
The problem.
Wow.
Wow, that is some hard, harsh stuff right there, is it not?
Maybe I should backtrack on the opinion that Larry Fitzgerald could change Antonio Brown. Never mind.
I think the Rooney family needs a different approach. Do they realize the gravity of their locker room and what's going on? I don't think they have a firm grip on just how dysfunctional their team is from the inside out.
You're right.
Well, the one thing I do know is Big Ben as well. He's wrapped up in a little bit of drama.
Yeah, yeah.
He's kind of a drama guy.
He's got to be able to fix that.
Drama queen. I'll call him a drama dude.
How about an offensive lineman, David Bakhtiari of Green Bay, explaining complacency is not quite strong enough for what was happening in Green Bay.
I mean, the one thing that always rubbed me the wrong way was, I guess it can kind of parallel with complacency. It was more accountability. And accountability could be, like, for me, the thing that really grind my gears was guys being late to the plane and no one holding other guys accountable or even fining them for being late. Like, hey, we're leaving at 1:30. You're not on the plane. You're not there. The door's closed.
She gone. Yeah.
That's how it needs to be.
No, there's no doubt about it. It's how it's got to be.
And yet that's what's not happening in Green Bay.
No accountability? Hey. That's why you hear me say all the time, leadership is about keeping others accountable. It is. And holding yourself even more accountable than the others.
Yeah.
I know for a fact Bruce Arians would reiterate in team meetings, if you're not there by the 2:00 departure, we're leaving.
Yeah.
Wheels are up. You can buy your own ticket and find your own way to the road game if you're
no
not there.
Doubt.
Speaking of wheels being up, how about Rich McKay admitting he was anti, and this is the chairman of the competition committee. He admitted that he was anti the idea of challenging every play before the NFC Championship game.
And I think what that play did is probably move the discussion forward a couple years.
Oh, yeah. Meaning what?
The challenge system's the way to go. But right. I think Coach Belichick's right when he said it a couple years ago. I think the issue is going to be, okay, what are you going to allow?
Right.
What is it? Are you going to? Okay. Is it everything? Is it a specific call? And I would just say to you, it's very complicated.
I think that no call has changed football forever, and we're not going to have an answer at the first meetings of the owners' meetings in March. It's going to be all summer long of how far are we going to go.
Just start with the playoffs. Please. There's too much at stake.
That would be a good way.
Give the coaches a few extra challenges. Expand what is reviewable. Just do that in the postseason to begin with. The regular season, we can live with it. Playoffs, it's unacceptable.
And how about some NFC West drama? Is Russell Wilson saying Richard Sherman without saying Richard Sherman when he talked about the start of the 2018 season?
Came back in this offseason, you know, this past one we just had.
Right.
Came back in OTAs, and it was all a fresh new start. And the leaders like myself, Bobby, Doug Baldwin's of the world, Tyler Lockett's, Dwayne Brown's, Justin Britt's, you know, we came in and we kind of revamped the meeting room. We kind of revamped the field, how we practice, the locker room. Just, hey, this is a new year, a new time.
Right.
It's a fresh us.
Fresh us.
Put that at the beginning of an office workspace. It's a fresh us.
Yeah.
It's a fresh us.
You know what, though? They did play a lot better team football this year.
Yeah, Paulie.
The Seahawks.
Good point,
on both sides of the ball. They really did. They were closer to the Steelers the last couple of years with the Legion of Boom and some of those big names than they were the typical Pete Carroll, Coach Organic
Pete
Seahawks
Carroll
team.
Is a great coach.
Yeah, he is.
But it really helps when you've got that franchise cue.
Coming up, there's your quick football rundown of everything that's going on at Atlanta that doesn't have to do with the Super Bowl. Now let's get back to the actual game. Charles Davis, friend of the Dog and Wolf Show, you are with NFL Network. You're staring down the Super Bowl. What are you seeing? What's going to be the difference maker? And, of course, let's talk a little draft. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Appreciative every time at Call Me Maloney, Aaron Maloney, the producer of the Doug and Wolf Show, gets a hold of Charles Davis, and he says yes to come on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Sundays, you can see him on Fox, and then coming up in February, you can see him all over the Combine with NFL Network, and he joins us right now. Charles, good morning. I shouldn't ask, but are you in Atlanta? Are you right there, or are you able to actually relax for a week and just enjoy football?
Oh, I'll be in Atlanta this evening. I'm doing the World Feed, the international broadcast with Bob Papa, the voice of the New York Giants.
That's
our
cool.
6 year together. Bob's been doing it for longer, and I've been lucky enough to join in. And I just thank my lucky stars every year they ask me to come back. So I hope they keep doing that for a long
time. That's cool.
That's
congratulations, Charles.
Yeah, absolutely, Charles. Thank you.
We are huge in Liechtenstein, guys. Huge in Liechtenstein.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, let's get down to it, though. Super Bowl 53. When I say that and you think of this matchup, I'm sorry to go so cheesy, but to me, it really says an awful lot about what you're thinking about. What are you thinking about when you think of this matchup?
You know, the easy storyline, and it's impossible not to get it, is the old guard versus the new guard.
Yep.
But when I look at it and I get deeper into it, they both have elements of the other. And I'll try and be brief here. The old guard, Belichick, Brady, and crew, you think of them as a defensive-minded football team. Belichick, of course, naturally defensive coordinator, et cetera, et cetera. And since he's taken over the Patriots, they're number three in the league in points per game on defense.
Mm.
Makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you forget is that they're number one in that same time frame in points per game scored. So you always think of them, Belichick, gruff, defense, the whole deal. Yeah, we know about Brady and all, but how many times have you heard, God, if Brady had the weapons Peyton Manning had, if Brady had this,
mm-hmm.
then you look up and they're putting up nearly 30 points per game.
Yes.
Whoa, okay? Flip it over, Sean McVay's the young wunderkind. With the third-year quarterback, Jared Goff. Is the stage going to be too big for them? Well, Sean McVay was raised in the game. His grandfather was a former coach of the New York Giants. The architect of, in terms of personnel, is the GM of the 49ers during the Walsh and Seifert era. So it's not like he didn't know what he was doing. And he came up straight through the pro system. Didn't coach in college, went right into the NFL. Young tight ends coach, young offensive coordinator, young head coach. But does a lot of things with old school because he was smart enough to hire Wade Phillips to be his defensive coordinator yep. and turn that part over to him. Although, don't think that Sean McVay doesn't know everything that's going on defense. That's one of the misnomers. Hey, Wade handles the defense. Sean had no.
Mm-mm.
Wade mm-hmm. handles the defense. But Sean knows every bit of what's going on that defensive side. I've seen it personally. So you see old school, new school. But to me, this game comes down to very simply this. It's the old Bear Bryant, is the old Bum Phillips. Protect your rush Theron, you know? And that's what it comes down to. Can you protect your quarterback? Can you rush theirs? No one's gotten close to Brady in the playoffs. Can Aaron Donald? Can Ndamukong Suh? Can Michael Brockers? Can Dante Fowler affect him in the pocket, especially to push through the middle? And then you flip it over to the other side. You don't think about great pass rushers with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
But Dietrich Wise had a pretty good Super Bowl a couple Super Bowls ago. You know, can they get to Jared Goff and disrupt him in the pocket?
Charles, we're talking to you as a, and I don't know how many fans know this, but as a high football IQ defensive player, how would you stop Tom Brady? I mean, what is the key for a team to make Tom Brady just an above average quarterback? Because I don't think anybody can make him an average quarterback.
I think through the years we've seen the blueprint, but you have to have the players to do it. The two losses to the Giants, and for a good portion of the game until Cliff Averill got hurt, and this is one of the reasons that I always tell Cliff and Seattle people, he's still underrated as a player and had to retire early because of the neck injury. The inside pressure that gets in Tom's face, this isn't just Tom Brady, this is darn near any quarterback, it's the underrated pressure. We pay the pass rushers off the edge. We write songs about them. We wax philosophical. We're lyrical about those edge rushers. But those guys who come up the middle and don't allow a quarterback to climb the pocket, don't allow a quarterback to step up and make throws, they're the ones that affect the game in a big way as well and don't get the credit for it that they deserve. Go back to the two Super Bowls with the Giants and look at Justin Tuck and those guys in his face, making it difficult for him. Go back to that stretch somewhere in the middle, probably middle of the first quarter till probably third quarter, where Tom Brady was really struggling and Seattle built a 10-point lead. Look at where the pressure came from. Mm. This is where the Rams are built. That's who they are. But this is an offensive line that's only given up 21 sacks, including the playoffs, which is tied for first in the NFL, the least amount of sacks given up with Indianapolis and New Orleans. So to me, that's where it all comes down to. And by the way, Aaron Donald doesn't have a sack so far in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So if you want to look at it one way, he's due. You know,
yeah,
he's the
right.
best defensive mm-hmm. player in the league. The other part is Ndamukong Suh has come alive in the playoffs. He's playing, to me, unquestionably, his best football of the season. I thought for a lot of the season, he rushed the passer and didn't play the run.
Mm-hmm.
He's played the run in the playoffs. They've given up 50 yards to the Cowboys, 48 yards to Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, the Saints. And during the season, I think they were the 22nd, 23rd ranked run defense in the league. Mm-hmm. They have come alive to playing the run on defense, and Michael Brockers is underrated as well.
So, Charles, as a former player, I just have so much respect. Bill Belichick was my coach for 2 years as well, 92 and 93 with the Cleveland Browns. But I have so much respect for what the Patriots have been able to accomplish. As a former player, do you feel the same way, or are you suffering from Patriot fatigue?
No, not even close, and it's a little bit of an uncomfortable conversation for me to be around people that are just simply anyone but the Patriots.
Right.
And you know, and as a fan, I get it. You know, you're like, God, I want someone else. Somewhere Pete Rozelle, the former commissioner of the NFL, is sitting somewhere looking down going, this is not what I had in mind when I said the P word, which was parody.
Right.
Because the Patriots have actually beaten the system. The system's not set up for you to go to 9 Super Bowls in 18 years.
No.
The system's set up for you to not even come close to being able to do that, because if you finish first every year, you play a harder schedule, right? Mm-hmm. You draft lower. You get the last pick in free agency. You know, all of those things come through, right? When you're trying to claim players and guys are on the waiver wire, you're down the line on it. All that comes into play. Yet year in, year out, in a free agency era where roster turnover is just the norm, they keep a good enough core together, better than good enough,
mm-hmm.
and fill in ways that other people may not see. And Belichick is very much, and you'll have to tell me if I'm wrong on this, Wolf, I think he's much more of a, what can he do, and is that something I need for my team?
Yes.
Than what he cannot do.
Yes.
You know, it's the old song, you know, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess around, Mr. In Between.
And you know what, Charles?
And that's who he is. That's who Belichick is. And that's why this team is great. And I'm going to leave it at this, guys. Name any family you know, raising kids, doing whatever. Typically, those families are telling their kids to strive for excellence. And if you reach it, keep repeating it. Yeah, here are the Patriots striving for excellence, reaching it, keep repeating it, and we don't want to see it. it actually goes against everything that we live for, but that's sports for you.
I'm with you on that, different. Charles.
That's fantastic. I know you are doing whatever it takes, Charles, to prepare for the NFL draft, for the Super Bowl, and like you'll do the NFL draft when you need to, but when you start covering it for NFL Network and you're there, just as Cardinals fans are nuts on the draft right now, is there one guy, and I don't mean the number one pick, but is there one guy that you can't wait to see at the combine? I want to see what player X can do.
Well, it's an easy one, and it is Kyler Murray, the quarterback from Oklahoma, because him getting measured may be the biggest event of the draft.
That's funny. You're right.
What's he going to weigh in at, Charles?
We are going to be waiting with bated breath for his tape measure number on his height.
Right.
I don't know if you know this, but the Oklahoma baseball team and football team have different heights for him. The same school.
That's not surprising. That's really not surprising. There's not a single height you can trust that's ever printed until they go across the stage at the combine or at an all-star game.
Man, that's good stuff.
The rest of it is just all speculation and piffle. I look back at my high school programs and I think I was listed at 6'3", 185. And I look back and if you saw a picture of me, I look like a number two pencil. I wasn't 6'3", because when I got to Tennessee, I was 6'2" and a quarter. And 185 was if I had rocks in both pockets and in each hand. So, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes. But his height measurement is going to be the biggest one going. And I told people this story, and I'll be real quick. I was headed to Mobile from Atlanta last week before we went to the Senior Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting next to a national scout who's watching tape. And he said, hey, you want to watch with me? And he was nice enough to let me watch. And he was watching Kyler Murray. So we probably watched 20, 25 plays. We get, you know, and he kind of looks at me and he goes, look, I'm just going to tell you straight up. He said, I don't like small football players. And I was like, okay, so this is an easy conversation. And I know where you're headed on Kyler Murray. And he goes, but I love this guy.
Yeah.
So, guys, just be prepared.
Yep.
This is going to be a very interesting draft for Kyler Murray, for everyone involved, because he's helping break rules that guys have steadfastly stood next to for a long time. And then when this all happens and Murray's a first-round pick, which I adamantly believe he will be, just go ahead and pay homage to Baker Mayfield at 6 foot,
yep.
Fran Tarkenton before him, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees. Their production at their size has opened the door now for general managers to pick a guy of Kyler Murray's size and not automatically lose their job if he's not successful.
Yeah. Hey, Charles, we got a lot of love and respect for you, brother, man. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate it, and God bless you. I'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Look forward to it. Thanks for having me, guys. I'll wave to you from Atlanta.
Absolutely. That's big time. Charles Davis joining us, as he is so common to do, thankfully, and he joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group's Forge Line. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Voice of Fox football and also a voice at the Combine with NFL Network. Coming up next, let's go back to the number one story of the day, ASU's win over U of A, Bobby Hurley's first win against his rival, and the man who did play-by-play on ESPN. The voice of the Cardinals, Dave Pasch, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I probably shouldn't out him for this, but I will. Paul will probably hit me with name dropper for this. But a gentleman has just texted me that may or may not be the Attorney General for the state of Arizona.
Bernie.
And he just said, Pasch and Walton were killing it last night. As Dave Pasch has just called into the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, I was sitting in the press section of the game, DP, and I was looking over there, and Walton was constantly laughing, and you were constantly shaking your head. So I have not been able to watch the broadcast as of yet. What was your highlight of Bill Walton night in Tempe?
I don't even remember. I mean, it's, you know, when he texts you and says that we're killing it, are we killing the ratings?
No, like, no, no.
What are we killing? I mean,
David, I thought you were going to say who?
Yeah. Right.
Now that's an old line. That's
I know.
We can't repeat them.
Yes.
Okay. Out of everything that you saw last night, was there anything that grabbed your attention more than the intensity of a coach getting knocked down and jumping right back up into an official's face?
Oh, it was the best. And I made the point, like, instincts took over. Like, Bobby's instinct to just go at the official took over there because he wanted the foul called on the guy that reached in. I love it. I love the intensity of both those coaches. I mean, this has a chance. Look, Arizona's down. They're going to be fine. They've got two McDonald's All-Americans coming in next year. They've got a great head coach. And I think Arizona State has the same. They've got a terrific head coach who has taken a team and put them in contention for the NCAA tournament that is entirely different from the team they had last year. And, again, I think this is a rivalry that, along with Washington and UCLA, depending on who they hire, over the next 5 or 6 years, going to bring Pac-12 basketball back, hopefully, to a place where it's getting the national respect.
What a good opinion. I really had not thought about, because we all know how down the conference is, but those
the
four names.
Team,
yeah. I mean, you got the Heritage and UCLA, and everybody sleeps on UW, but they're fantastic, and you're right about these two. That's a great point, DP.
What about Remy Martin?
Oh.
Love him. Love him. I mean, he's a much better player nationally than I think people realize.
Really?
We had the game against Kansas as well where he hit that shot. And I know he didn't have a great game. I think he had 10 points. But just watching him last night, first of all, I love the joy the guy plays with.
Yes.
But
yes.
He hit some big shots. He is a really good player, very underrated nationally.
David, how many times do you think, though, that Bobby Hurley was probably looking at Remy Martin, some of his shot selection, and saying, no, no, oh, well, oh, yes.
I don't know if you saw the one. I mean, see, Wolf, you don't go to the games, but Doug, at least, you know, he goes to
I know exactly where you're going. This was amazing. Keep going,
Dave. I saw it, David.
Yeah, well, I figured you have no excuse. You have to watch the TV because you're not at the game. but when Bobby goes, shot clock. I think that's what he said, shot clock. Remy Martin turns. Think about it. He's at the hash mark, and he shoots it.
Yeah. Right.
There was five on the shot clock. I don't know if Bobby said shoot it, but he said shot clock. But then Bobby, I don't know if you saw Hurley's look after it went in. He kind of looked at the bench and go, okay.
Wasn't
exactly what I said, but it went in.
That was a fantastic exchange because if you didn't get to see the game, Dort airballs a three. He shoots too much threes for me, but he airballs a three. The ball goes out to Martin, and Martin is not paying attention to the shot clock. And you could see that was point guard on point guard crime. Bobby was fired up at him for not knowing the shot clock situation as a point guard. And Remy, I don't know if you're allowed to talk trash to your own coach. When he hit the shot, he didn't turn and look at the students. He didn't turn to look at U of A. He looked right at Bobby, like to say, hey, I got this. When he didn't have it, Dave, he did not know the shot clock situation.
Yeah. I listened to Bobby's interview with you guys the other day when I was going to the airport. You got to get him going on some stories. Well, if I was telling him yesterday, the next time he's on, he's going to – he loves to tell stories and hear stories.
Yeah.
So I was telling him all about your history with Belichick and Bernie Kosar and getting flattened by the fridge. So just be prepared next time he's on. He may ask you. You got to get him going on some of the Dream Team stories. That whole deal when they were going up against the Dream Team and practice, you know, 25 years
Speaking
ago.
Speaking of practice, Douglas, you got to tell David.
Oh my gosh, I don't know
if he knows this.
The Zylan Cheatham told us a story at the end of the press conference, and he said that they didn't go watch film before shoot around like they normally do. And he explained to us that all of them stood there and actually had to read the score of all seven losses that Bobby Hurley has suffered to U of A.
He's really a lunatic. Like, I don't think you guys understand.
And every time he got done with the losses, then Bobby would start running lines for the point differential of each one. It was crazy.
The year we lost by 38, he ran 38 lines, and he ran a total of, I want to say, like, probably 100. I don't even know.
I don't know.
David, think about that.
Listen, all the times you have these pre-production meetings with coaches and players, have you ever heard a story of a coach running, not his players, running himself so they see the pain of the previous losses?
No, I've never heard of that. I can't say I'm shocked, even though it's something I've never heard of, but just knowing Bobby, I totally could see him. I mean, I could picture it in my head right now, him doing it, and the player's like, what is this guy doing?
Exactly. Okay, now, David, Il Bajaro.
Oh, no.
What about the Arizona Cardinals right now? You've got the number one pick overall, David. As of today, of course, February 1st, what are you going to do with it?
I'm going Nick Bosa. And, you know, Quinnen Williams, I think I caught the end of what Rashad was saying there. And I think he's an excellent player. I just think if you have a chance to get a pass rusher, the caliber of Nick Bosa, when you pair him with Chandler Jones and the other pieces the Cardinals have on defense, they're back to a top 10 defense.
You did some Kentucky games, right?
I did not have Kentucky this year. Yeah, so it'd be hard for me to speak about Josh Allen. I've just seen highlights. But I just, you know, and I've talked to Urban Meyer about Nick Bosa and, you know, his brother, obviously. They're similar in that they've had some injuries. But in terms of leadership, work ethic, talent, it's all there. And, you know, unless he doesn't look great at, you know, when they check him out and they don't like him when they interview him, which they will like him. I mean, he's the guy for me. And I just every board I've seen, Mel and Todd, Todd. I mean, everybody's got Nick Bosa number one.
Dave Pasch is the play-by-play voice of the Cardinals. He's the play-by-play voice of ESPN's West Coast college basketball coverage. And I admit, Bear has already said break in my ear, and I'm rebelling and asking anyway. With your NBA insight as a play-by-play voice for ESPN, do you buy Porzingis' knee? Did Dallas just get a steal in a rebuild, or did they just blow the farm on a guy that we're not going to see much of?
Good question on the injury. We don't know him. He's coming off the Achilles, but I think the pairing of him and Doncic is going to be great for Dallas. What's going to be really interesting now, do the Boston Celtics look to move Kyrie Irving between now and the trade deadline? Because there's starting to be a lot of talk.
Yes.
And I started hearing this even before that Kyrie may want to play for the Knicks.
Wow.
And try to get KD to go to the Knicks. And that's why the Knicks are getting rid of all this cap space, is to go after and get two max guys to pair with, you know, Zion Williamson or RJ Barrett, whoever they end up getting in the draft. So I think it's going to be interesting what happens, obviously, with Anthony Davis over the next week.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Kyrie Irving thing now, I think that is going to be another thing to keep an eye on.
Good talk.
David, thank you so much, man, as always, okay? Love you, and I'll talk to you down the road, brother.
All right, guys, take it easy.
There's Dave Pasch joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Thanks to Coulter Cadillac, Buick GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti, the place to go for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, how does the latest trade in the NBA impact Devin Booker? We'll give you the latest coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Point blank, there is a ton of stuff on the board today. And if you've been listening for a long time today, I hope you've enjoyed the show. I mean, I want you to enjoy it every day, but we've had so much to cover. If you haven't heard, the drama with the Steelers, the competition committee admitting that the pass interference no call has advanced the challenge conversation by about 2 years. ASU, the number one story that there is in the market and what they've done to U of A last night. And really, and what U of A did on the lack of talent they have on this current team and yet how much heart they played with. Coleman driving the lane. There's so much stuff out there. The Bryce Harper story out of D.C. is something. And then we've been getting into a little bit of the Super Bowl and the draft, and we're going to get back into that with Rudy Carpenter coming up in about 10 minutes, talking draft and talking Super Bowl with him. And I'm sure he'll want to talk a little ASU hoop too, being a Sun Devil. But it's been a while since we've been able to get to this, and it's something that you have to look at from a local standpoint. Home run or big swing and a miss on an injured guy? That's the question for the Dallas Mavericks. And how do you not wonder how this looks to Devin Booker?
He's similar to what Kawhi Leonard. We forgot how good Kawhi Leonard was, and then all of a sudden he comes on the court and he's back to a top five player. And before the injury, you know, Porzingis he was an all-star. He was a top 20 player. We can also say he was a franchise level player. The risk is we have not seen him. We have not seen him in about a year. And are you comfortable paying him that money going forward? Likely that knee is not insurable.
That's Man. Bobby Marks. He is the ESPN NBA front office insider. He worked with the Nets for a long time, and he's talking about Porzingis in a 7-player trade going to the Mavericks. The Mavericks giving up 2 first-round picks. And if you're looking at it from Devin Booker's standpoint, I'm sure D-Book is thinking, okay, we've been accumulating these picks for years, and we have people like Bender to show for it. And we have people, we don't even have some people to show for it anymore, like Marquise Chris and things like that. So when are we going to make this huge, bold move? And yet, this could easily blow up right in the face the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, no doubt.
Missed out on using 2 first-round picks in the next couple drafts on what you could have paired with Doncic. If you miss on this, you talk about grand slam or double play ground out.
Yes.
That's what Dallas did. But I bet a D-Book, He respects the idea that you did it.
Well, first of all, I think you've got to go and you got to look at this trade right here. Somebody in New York, I think, Basin O'Neans, was promised something. They were promised. Why else would you make this trade and clear all that cap space, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Knicks get picks and cap space so they can facilitate the collusion that's going on in the NBA right now. And I'm talking about player collusion, right? To where they're contriving where they're going to go and win championships. Not owner collusion, player collusion. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. You heard Dave Pasch actually talking about the possibility of that he's hearing now. Oh, Kyrie and Kevin in New York.
Irving, Durant, and a pick in this great draft.
Stop and think about this. You're going to trade if Porzingis is okay. Just if he's okay. You're going to go ahead and you're going to trade your best player for what they got in return. I don't think so. So you know me. I am a conspiratorialist, Basinonians. I believe, you know, don't talk to me about the fact that there isn't tampering going on. You want to get a message to anybody in professional sports, you can get that message to somebody. There is a way to circumvent the process, so to speak, where you can talk to anybody you want to talk to through third, fourth, and 17th parties, so to speak. It's a grapevine, and you can get that message to them. Somebody promised James Dolan, somebody promised the New York Knicks something, and that's why this deal was made, in my opinion. I could be dead wrong on this, ladies and gentlemen, but I don't think so. You heard Dave Pasch. He just told us the rumors are there that it's Kyrie. Kyrie wants to go play for the Knicks.
By the way, I believe the number is a game and a half, if you're wondering. I think the Knicks are a game and a half below the Suns. So you could be looking at a scenario where they have Kyrie Irving, they have Kevin Durant, and they have Zion Williamson. I mean, come on. You talk about a lightning quick rebuild. Hey, there's something else that you got to hear. I'll get to it in a second. Comedian Jim Jeffries is coming to Celebrity Theater on this on his Night Talker tour Saturday, February 9th, and we're giving you the chance to win tickets. Just head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com to enter and for complete details on tickets and show info. Oh, and I want you to know, this is what I want you to know, is Maloney found this, and this is something where I'm a little shocked and confused that this actually exists.
I've been told all along that Arizona was a team that he had wanted to go to, but they dumped out Goldschmidt, they dumped out A.J. Pollock, who's a free agent. They seemingly are rebuilding, but Bryce had wanted to go there.
This is Chris Russell. He's a reporter on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. So obviously, either he's getting his information straight from Scott Boras, the agent, and this is all a plant to drum up interest somewhere else, maybe get you as an Arizona Diamondback fan excited over Bryce Harper, or this is actually from Bryce Harper to a guy that's covered him for a while, kind of sounding, resigned to the fact that the team he wanted to go to doesn't want him.
Bryce had wanted to go there because of the proximity to Vegas, pretty good hitters, ballpark, Chase Field in Phoenix, and he just, you know, kind of like thought that would be a good ideal location for him and his wife.
Now keep
so
in mind when you
we're to assume that he doesn't want to come any longer because those three guys are gone, right?
Well, I don't know.
That's his point.
Because listen to his end of his last point.
So the D-backs in the mix.
I don't know that for sure, but that's where Bryce wanted to go at the outset here, and I think they may be trying to get in the back door.
Let me tell you a lightning quick story, and that is if anybody remembers, the Diamondbacks were not in on Zach Greinke at all. They were not in on Zach Greinke. And then they kicked the tires a little bit, no big deal. And then they found out he was serious. They found out he was serious and wanted to come to Arizona. And then it was, well, wait a minute. If this is true, we need to make a move here. If the Diamondbacks wanted him, here we go. I mean, then they could. But I just don't see this fitting into the Hazen model. If the Hazen model is we can't afford the future of Paul Goldschmidt, do you really spend that much on this guy?
That's exactly what it's not only that. But if, in fact, he wanted to come and play for the Diamondbacks because they had a good team, now all of a sudden, all those three guys, the three guys that he mentioned right there, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? If they couldn't pay Paul Goldschmidt, if he was here, now all of a sudden they're going to pick up Bryce Harper and pay him? All that? No. No, that's the problem. They don't have the resources of the Dodgers.
Coming up next, this is kind of a shock. One NFL analyst said, trade Josh Rosen, go get Dwayne Haskins. Now Charles Davis has told us, hey, wait a minute, Kyler Murray is going to go early. There's too many rumors out there. What's going to happen? Rudy Carpenter's whole job is to prepare quarterbacks for the draft. What does he think about the future of the Cardinals' position at quarterback? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.